We're in Job 19. I really hope this sermon comes out as good as it is in my mind, because I love what we're about to read about. It's so encouraging, and just this is what I'm looking forward to in Jesus Christ, and what probably most of you are looking forward to. But Job is 1700 years before Jesus Christ shows up, and apparently folks knew that there was coming a man, a messenger from God, and Christ, the Messiah. And they knew a long time before Jesus Christ showed up. Apparently what they didn't know is that it wouldn't just be a messenger from God, it would be God himself would show up. And that was the mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. We mentioned it, I guess it was Sunday night. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That was the shocking part of it. It wasn't that he sent someone, he just showed up. Job chapter 19, let me give you the familiar verse that you know, and then we'll go back and give you the context. But Job chapter 19, verse 25, I love this, so good. The Bible says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Wow. "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job talks about, it would be impossible to give you everything coming up to Job 20 in the context and all the just terrible things that have happened to Job. He's lost his family, lost 10 kids, lost all his possessions, lost his health. He's lost his best friends. I mean, his best friends are just accusing him. And, anytime you see something bad happen to somebody, there's something in you that says, and something in me that says, they must have messed up somewhere. And considering the terrible things that happened to Job, when his three friends show up, they can't imagine that these horrible things would happen to a man and there not be some problem with his life somewhere. So they just accuse him. They accuse him. And the reality is, these things that happened to Job were because Job was reliable. And the Lord pointed him out to the devil. The devil was going to hunt for prey and try to seek people to destroy, and the Lord said, "Well, there's a man down there. You couldn't destroy him if you wanted to," and pointed out Job, and boy, that turned Job's life upside down, literally. And in these verses in Job 19, he describes the effects of this disease or whatever's come on him and in his body, and he begs God. We'll read the context of it. He describes all these horrible things that are happening in his body, not to mention all the emotional wreck that he is from losing 10 children in one day, not to mention losing all his property, all his business, all his means of income, and then just losing all this stuff. His body now is taking a toll, and it's one thing to endure emotional affliction in decent health or in good health, but you know, you take away the health, and then, I mean, it's horrible. So he's in bad health. He's describing all the ailments that he has and what he's become and just the miserable state of his body. And he begs God to make a record of it. And then he says this, and let's look at the context. I want to give you some context to this familiar verse, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." What a blessing that is. But look in Job chapter 19, verse 17, where he starts describing the trouble in his own flesh. He says, "My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth." That's where you get that phrase. Skin of your teeth. You got it from Job. "I'm escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh?" You're like, why do you, can you not see the terrible condition I'm in? And can you not just be at least just satisfied and not to begrudge me anymore, just to continue to accuse me? Just look at the state of affliction I'm in and just be satisfied with that. But no, you just keep accusing me. And then he says in verse 23, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." And he got that prayer request answered. "That they were graven with an iron pen, lead in the rock forever." And here's the context. He wants a record made of his condition. He wants a record made of what's happened to him. And he says, "Because I know, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Amen to that. That's the hope. That's the hope. So I want to show you and talk to you this morning about the theological term. I mean, you say theological term, it's just redemption. It's the day that Jesus Christ remakes a believer's body from something corruptible into something incorruptible. He says that in 1 Corinthians 15, "For this mortal must put on immortality." The issues that you have and I have with sin, the Bible says the works of the flesh are manifest. And he talks about adultery and fornication and murder and lasciviousness and all of these vile things that go on. He says this is the outpouring, this is the outworking of your flesh. And if you got saved, if you're saved, you're sitting in a pew right now and you trusted Jesus Christ and your trust is in Jesus Christ, that didn't change your body one bit. Your body is still the same body that you came to Jesus Christ with. And what the Lord has done, if you got saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Romans 8, He has given you the spirit of adoption. And adoption is just the redemption of the body. You read that in Romans 8. It's just the redemption of the body. It's not necessarily adoption like I adopted some children or something like that. He says the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And he says, you have, if you're saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ, you have the spirit of adoption. You don't have the body of adoption. You don't have the body of redemption. You don't have a redeemed body. But you have that spirit. And problem is, you and I are living out the eternal life that we've been given. If you're saved, you have eternal life. You're living it out in a filthy body. And you can't change your body. There's nothing you can do to improve it or to make it. Put it this way: there's nothing you can do to make it not evil. He calls it this vile flesh. And so Job finds himself, and you probably do too. If you've been, I don't know, sick in any real way, what you find is you feel like probably you are trapped in a vile body. And there's nothing you can do. You can't change your body. You can't take out the evil from it. And so here's Job. Let's look at what Job says. And keep in mind, Job says these things 1700, 1800 years before Jesus Christ is ever born. So he has an understanding, probably a more clear understanding than a lot of people who have access to a Bible, apparently, than folks who may have access to a Bible but don't bother reading it or looking at it. But he knows there is one day coming a man who is a redeemer, who is not a redeemer, he is the redeemer. And when that man shows up, he will change Job's body from what it currently is, just a filthy mess, into something incorruptible, without sin, without disease, without sickness, and he will change that corruptible thing into something incorruptible. Amen to that. So let's look at and consider a few thoughts on redemption. Number one, Job understands when he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Job knows his Redeemer at his time of trial and affliction, 1800 years before Jesus Christ, Job knows his Redeemer is alive at this time. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. So the Lord Jesus Christ is alive whether you know it or don't know it. He's alive. He's been alive. He is the creator of all things. And he is the measuring stick of all things. He is the I don't want to get too far into this, but the point is, Job understands. He says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." You know what he said just before? "I know that my Redeemer liveth." He says, "I wish that all of my life, all of this trouble, all of these conversations, all of this tribulation was recorded in a book somewhere." And he says, I wish it was recorded because one day my Redeemer who lives right now is coming back and all of this stuff will be history and no one will think about it. Just I wish it was written down somewhere. And Job gets his prayer answered and it's written down. It gets written down. So Job knows his Redeemer is alive and well. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let me ask you, that's a statement in itself. And some of you sitting here, you may not know that. You may have a religious idea about God or a religious idea about Jesus Christ. You may have you got a Sunday school class idea about, I don't know how else to say, but religious. Maybe Jesus Christ is part of a religion to you. Jesus Christ is not part of a religion. Jesus Christ is redemption of your body. And he's the only source of redemption of your body. There's no law you could obey. There's no amount of charitable giving you could give that would buy an incorruptible body. You have to get that freely from someone who is willing to give it to you and who has the power to give it to you. Jesus Christ freely, he says, that he freely offers eternal life. So here's Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Boy, I hope, if you can't say, I hope you can say that before this is over. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And boy, I am looking forward to that day. I am looking forward to that day when this old nasty old flesh is just dropped off. Give me a glorified body, Lord. Give me something that doesn't have filth in it. That I don't have to contend every day of my life. I wake up and I have to choose, do I serve God or do I serve this? That won't even be a thought. It's just I serve God. And I love serving God. I'll wake up and I want to serve God. I hear songs about God. But now in this body, I wake up and I grab my phone and I look at the news and the body is just nasty. It's filthy. And it wants filthy stuff. God help us. But I know like Job, and I hope you can say it too, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then notice this. He says, after I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Not only does Job know that his Redeemer is alive and well, he knows that his Redeemer is going to physically plant his feet on the earth. And he will physically be among his creation on his earth. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. What an amazing, amazing thought. And that's what I mentioned at the beginning. It seems like all through the Bible, I think I mentioned this Sunday night, but literally all through the Bible, you've got prophets and preachers. The Lord's going to send somebody. The Lord's going to send Christ. He's going to send a messenger. He's going to send Christ. He's going to send Christ. He's going to send a Christ. He's going to send a man. 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 And then when it came down to it, the Lord didn't send a man. The Lord became a man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He became a man. And he shows up and he plants his feet on this earth. And he lives out this holy, perfect, sinless life in total obedience to God the Father. And he accepts all the accusations, and just the Bible says it's a contradiction of sinners. He comes and lives among his creation, lives a holy life. And the Bible says he does that so he can offer his body now, his body, as a sacrifice acceptable, an acceptable sacrifice, as the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. And then after he offers his body, you understand, when Jesus Christ goes to the cross, the Bible says he is beaten beyond recognition. You know why he's beaten beyond recognition? Or at least one reason I think he's beaten beyond recognition? Because you can't kill eternal life. You can't kill him. He has to either give up his life, or his life doesn't go away, because he is eternal life. He's life. And so on the cross he says, "Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit." The Bible says he gave up the ghost. He dies and body's laid in a tomb. And that same body that's laid in a tomb 3 days later comes out of a tomb. What do we have here? And that body comes out of a tomb, and it's not just a body. It's not a zombie. This is a man who is resurrected. And he still has scars. It's the same body that went in the tomb. This isn't some other glorified body, although this body has been glorified. This is the same body that goes into the tomb, and he comes out and he shows his hands and his feet, and he goes among the disciples. And the Bible says Thomas is one of the guys that's not around. And so when he finally comes around, he says, I won't believe unless I see. And when he finally sees Jesus Christ shows him the scars in his hands and in his feet. You know what Thomas says? "My Lord and my God." God manifest in the flesh. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand upon the earth in the latter day." But he didn't just come once. He came once to be a sacrifice. But what Job's talking about is not the sacrifice. Job said, "I know at the latter day he's going to come." You know what that tells you about Jesus Christ? All of time revolves around Christ. He is the timepiece. You know, we're in 2021. And we're in 2021 because that's 2021 years since God was born in a body. And you know when time wraps up? When the one that was born in a body shows back up. He's the timepiece. Everything revolves around him. And so Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he will physically be on this earth. And I know that when he's on this earth, the second time, it marks the end of this present evil world. You know how you know he knew that? Because Job mentioned that he shall stand at the latter day. Meaning, when he stands, time is wrapping up. He shall stand at the latter day. Not just that he shall stand and he shall come to this earth, but that when he returns, that means time is about done. That he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Jesus Christ, that he resurrects, he ascends up into heaven, and then he pours out the Spirit of God to believers, and he says, "Behold from heaven, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." And that's the promise. That's, if you're saved, that's what you're looking forward to. That's what I'm looking forward to. Lord, help my, like I said in Sunday school, help my unbelief. Redeemer will physically be on this earth, and Jesus Christ's visit to this earth will mark the end of this present evil world. Your whole system of time revolves around Jesus Christ. And when God decides time is done on this evil world, Jesus Christ comes back, and that marks the latter day. That's it. That will be the end of time. It'll be the beginning of a 1,000-year reign for the Lord Jesus Christ, mentioned in Revelation 20. What a time that'll be. What a time that'll be. But let's consider Job again a little bit and his terrible situation. His body is eat up. His emotions are eat up. His mind is just, it's still intact, but it's suffering. And he is looking forward to, Job says this in verse 26, "Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Wow. You know what Job understood? This body, temporary. And one day, this body is worm food. One day, this body gets put in the ground, and bye-bye body. But in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, this mortal must put on immortality. And Job knew it. Job knew it. He said, I know after my skin worms destroy this body, but that's not the end. I know that in my flesh I shall see God. That means heaven, the Bible, the promises of God after death, those aren't all just spiritual or concepts or ideas. It's physical. There's a physical coming of Jesus Christ. There's a physical reconciling the body of a believer back to God. That's all physical. It's not just an idea. It's not a concept. Let me give you one in 1 Corinthians. Tell you what, you can go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's got some great, great verses on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know what? Some of you have probably been dealing with health issues. You've been dealing with affliction in the body. And periodically, we all do. And if you're saved, I imagine you say like Job, I can't wait to have a new body. I can't wait to have a new body. I say I can't wait to have a new body because I'm just tired of living in this sinful body. I'm tired of waking up and having to decide whether to serve God. I don't want to have to decide to serve God. I don't want to make that choice every day. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. The Bible says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That this body you have has no place with God. Has no place with God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I love this. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Amen to that. Redemption of the redemption is something, if you're saved, something you ought to be looking forward to, and something you probably are looking forward to. Now here's what you say, and I say, you got to trust Jesus Christ. I think you ought to be a little more specific about what you trust Him for. If you don't trust in His bodily resurrection and His ability to change your body into an incorruptible body, or His ability to raise life from the dead, then what you say you believe about Jesus Christ isn't really, and we'll see, I'll show you some verses on it, a couple verses on it. You got to believe, just like Job believed, "I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that the worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Redemption of the body, it hadn't happened yet. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ to save you from the body of sin you're in, He's given you His Holy Spirit. The Bible calls that the earnest of your inheritance. The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." You got a part of you, if you're saved, that contends and fights with this flesh every day and gets tired of the flesh wanting the same old garbage that it wants and going to the same old filth it goes to. You fight and you struggle, and it just is a battle, a contentious battle. But Job said this, and it has to be true in your life as well. Redemption has to be personal. Go back over here to Job. He said, "I know this. I know. I know that in my flesh, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that I shall see for myself," verse 27, Job 19, 27, "whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." There is coming a day when Jesus Christ returns, and He will change for believers. He will change what is corruptible into incorruptible, something incorruptible. But Daniel said this. He said, when Jesus Christ returns, He will not just make an accounting of all that believed in Him. He will make a reckoning with anyone who's died. And He will bring everyone up. And he will make an accounting with before God the Father. He will either reconcile all things to God, or He will cast out what's unreconcilable. And so there's coming a day, Daniel said it this way. He says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And it all depends on what you believe about Jesus Christ. That's what it hinges on. What you believe about Jesus Christ. Because the death of the body that you're in is not the end. It's just the end of the body you're in. But you're not your body. You are, the Bible says, a living soul. You have a body. But that's not what you are. Sometimes you confuse your body with what you are. Sometimes you think you are your body, but you're not your body. Your body is part of you, and it affects your soul. But what you are, the Bible says, man became not a body, man became a living soul. You just happen to have a body. And that body happens to be filthy and dying. And that body happens to be at odds with God in every way possible. Everything it thinks, everything it wants is at enmity with God. And so when Jesus Christ returns, there is going to be an accounting and a blessed accounting and powerful giving of eternal life, or I say eternal life, but incorruptible bodies to those who trusted him. But there's also going to be a counting of those who didn't trust him. And like I said, your body is not you. You are a living soul. And the Bible says if you haven't put your faith or you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, then whatever you've trusted, whatever medicine or doctors or TV station or news channel or money or bank account or job or whatever it is you've trusted, that will prove to be unable to help you in that day. And so when he accounts for all of the dead, and eventually the body has to be changed, but eventually he will call up, just like Daniel says, the dead, and he will make an account of all of the souls that have died outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation, I think it's 20 or 21, and he says, and all liars, murderers, fornicators, idolaters, all that, he says, all will have their part in the lake of fire which burneth forever. And then he says, this is the second death. You had a death of your body. That happened. But that's not what you were. You are a soul. And the Bible says that second death, that's not a death of the body. That second death is the death of the soul. That's where all who have the souls that are naked before God, that are unclean, that are unrighteous. And I don't say that because people did good works and they impressed God or whatever. If you don't have the righteousness of God, you don't have a standing before God. And when God makes an accounting through Jesus Christ of all the dead, the Bible says all liars, murderers, idolaters, fornicators, witchcraft, all that kind of stuff, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Second death. I say that as a warning, because I know in a group this size, not everybody here has trusted Jesus Christ. Or I should say is trusting Jesus Christ. You may be in church. You may have gone to church. You may go to church regularly. But if you don't have this belief, I fully trust, just like Job, I fully trust the Lord is my Redeemer. And only He gives life. And if He doesn't clothe me with an incorruptible body, I won't be clothed with an incorruptible body. I won't have one. I just won't have one. In fact, look over here. Look at, well, I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 10, here's what Paul said about this belief. He says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? Romans 10, 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. People talk about it. People may even say they believe God and they got some verses. You know, I love those verses that promise me everything. Well, they promise Jesus Christ everything, and if you're in Christ, you have those promises. You find out a lot of the Bible isn't really talking about you, it's talking about Jesus Christ. But then he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What you say, well, I believe, and I've mentioned it before, he said that I believe Jesus died for my sins. That's good. That's a start. But if you don't believe that Jesus has the ability to give you eternal life, you don't have eternal life. Why would you have eternal life? You don't trust Jesus Christ for it. I believe Jesus died for my... You know how many people say that? You could probably, I don't know, if we asked people in Beeville, you could probably get, 70-80% of people to say, yeah, I believe Jesus died for my sins. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. You believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that he gives you, he willingly offers you eternal life, a new body, redemption of the body. So you can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Redemption is personal, and it's got to be personal. It's got to be personal. If Job can say, let me wrap it up with this. If Job can say this in the condition he's in. Remember, Job is in horrible condition right now. When he says what he says, his body is riddled with disease and it's a mess. That not even mentioning the other things going on in his life. But if Job can say this in his condition, Job doesn't have a Bible like you have a Bible. Job is living before Jesus Christ ever showed up. You understand the advantages you have? You have a history of Jesus Christ who went to a cross and rose from the dead. Now, I challenge you, if Job can say that before the cross, surely you can say that after the cross. Surely you can say it with a full Bible in hand with all the promises of God. Job doesn't have any of this. Job says, I wish that my words were written down in a book. He doesn't have any book he's reading. But here we are. Here all you have access to not only one Bible, you probably have access to 100 Bibles. And you won't give them the time of day to figure out what God said about Jesus Christ or your faith or life in God Almighty. And so you got access to all this. You and I have access. We live post-resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the physical ascension of his body is past us. With Job, it's all future. He hasn't seen any of this stuff. He isn't reading a book of Job to figure out how this works. But he knows how it works. He trusts God enough. I know that my Redeemer liveth, said without a full Bible in hand. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand upon the earth the latter day. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. All said without scriptures, without Old Testament, without New Testament, without the name Jesus Christ. And yet you and I sit here in the 21st century, access to as many Bibles as we want in a free country. We can still get Bibles. You go buy a Bible, you can look one up online right now. You can pull one up on your phone, which I hope some of you are doing. I hope that's what you're doing on your phone right now. You can pull one up on your Bible. Surely, you can muster up a little bit of faith with all this stuff in the past. You look back on Jesus Christ. You look back on the cross. You got a full Bible, access to as many as you want. And then we kind of, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm so scared about death. You know what? These bodies do get scared about death. And that's just part of the body. When the body feels threatened, man, it just goes into fear and panic. I'll give you a very brief story, very brief, because I know time's short here, and I think you get the idea. I remember getting the MRI a couple years ago, I guess it was. I didn't know this body is claustrophobic. I didn't know that. I found that out. But they put me in that tube, and they ran me in a little bit, and he said, "You okay?" I was like, "Nope, nope. I'm not okay." Give me some headphones and do something, man. I don't know. Yeah. And then I realized the body has some reactions when it feels threatened. It just has reactions. It's scared of death. But in Jesus Christ, you understand you're not your body. You understand your life is in Jesus Christ and your soul is what you are. In fact, Jesus Christ goes so far to say, you know what? Crucify your flesh. How about that? How about just crucify your flesh and let's live after God now? I'm so impressed with Job and what he says and what he believes about God, not having anything you and I have. On top of that, going through everything he went through, without Old Testament, without Jesus Christ, without the cross, without any of those things, he loses everything. His body's diseased. It's just in a terrible affliction. And with all of that trouble, it's no wonder God's testimony of Job is, here's a man that's perfect. This man, Satan, if you go after this man, you won't be able to break him. Eventually Job I would have cracked before Job even started. I mean, it's just like, he goes through so much. But I want to encourage you, but I also want you to get a realistic view of your own belief about Jesus Christ. Here's a man 1,700 years before Jesus Christ, without scriptures, without all the stuff, the advantages you and I have, says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen to that. And that he shall stand upon the earth in the latter day, and though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Surely, surely, before you leave here, you can say the same thing. Because you have all the advantages Job didn't have. And you're not even in the situation Job's in. Job's in a horrible situation. But redemption, this is the promise. Here's some encouragement to end this thing. To wrap it up. There is coming a day. Thank God. There is coming a day when Jesus Christ will change our vile bodies and fashion them like his glorious body. You know what if you're saved, you know what you'll be doing 100 years from now? Not be talking about politics. You won't be watching news. You know what you'll be doing 100 years from now? You'll be with the Lord if you're saved. I mean, that's a little perspective. This country may go on for another 200 or 300 years. Jesus Christ may not return for 500 years. Who knows? But you know what you'll be doing if you're saved? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know what the problem is? The body. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Get this body out of here. Just get it out of here. I'm tired of dealing with it. Just, Lord, help. And one day he is. One day he is. And if you don't trust him, I encourage you, put your faith in Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. He ascended up into heaven. He is the mediator, the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and he offers you eternal life freely if you'll put your trust in him. And he is fully, fully capable of accepting and handling your trust. Whereas other things we put our trust in, oh, they fail. They fail. We wonder, you know, well, I put my money here and it's kind of working out. It didn't work out that good. And put your trust in Jesus Christ. And here's what you trust Him for, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Period. What do I have to do? You have to trust Jesus Christ. What's the thing I need to do? Here's the work of God that John said. Jesus Christ said, here's the work of God, that you believe on me. That's the work. Believe on me. Believe on me. Father, I pray it's been helpful today. I pray